On Tuesday, April 2nd at 10 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents poets, activists, and educators Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Kerr Moore. Join us as we kick off National Poetry Month with these mighty artists. That's Tuesday, April 2nd at 10 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones. And tonight we're going to kick off National Poetry Month by unearthing a Sugar in My Bowl nugget from 2009. Our guests for this evening are Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Kerr Moore. Our associate producer Hank Williams and I had a conversation with Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Kerr Moore. Hopefully, many people were able to catch the tribute to Sonia Sanchez that took place at the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture last night. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl, starting now.
What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. Sugar in my bowl.
When you are brown, when you are brave, when you walk over glass like water, when you know your eyes are borrowed like time, when you peel off your skin for the very first time, fear is never in style in the Mecca of the blue. Fear never lives in the gut of the new. You want home, and I just want to build my home. You want home, and I just want love in my hands. You want home, and I'm not interested in fans. You love me inside my magic, and I just want you to see you already had it. It isn't the telling when someone asks. It is the way he holds the glass, licks the surface, examines without touching. It is the way our energy takes over rooms. It is the subtle conversation. It is the freedom of emancipated language. It is the words scribbled inside my skin. It is the curve of the line, the beauty of the lie. Stories passed down through generations of pain and pride, ocean and tide. Water remembers, water returns. African mermaids blending with dark sand. It is the danger of the dance. The upright part of the bass, the dice roll drum, the cymbal tease, the last laugh, addiction to this moment. Where else did I put it? Don't know where to put it. Place it, bury it deep in my chest, back of my throat. Where should I hide it on this stage? Should I give it to you? Here is my honesty, my work undressed. Legs stretched across the piano, traded like cattle, raised like animal, left for dead, sucked dry from inspiration. In love with the idea of living long enough to simply write about it. Push it out my body and watch my son slowly grow into it. You said you wanted home. Now what you gonna do with it? Huh? Etta, Abby, Whitney, Billy, Nina, Phyllis. How much time you got? I'm a body of clocks. I'm the master of mics. I'm the metaphor for survival. I'm the gold they use to build their churches. A beautiful idea to flirt with, but who should I marry? The moonlight, the sunrise, the white dove, the wolf, an eastern wind, this music, a prayer. How many babies we gonna make inside a song? Which revolution, which nation shall we rule? The island of the spirit world, the beauty of the believers, the carpenters, the men who build the dreamer, placed you on the front line of their planet. One day, the stars will line up between breath and ink and voice, between reality and choice.
Africa, 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 go back, black, go back, black, see yourself,
tell the story, tell it,
go back, black, see yourself, know yourself, touch yourself. Africa, creator of the human being, of music, of dance, of language. Africa, mighty, beautiful, ancient Africa. But when you put your hand on your sister, made her a slave. When you put your hand on your brother, made him a slave. Watch out, Africa. Mighty ancient Africa. Watch out, Africa. Ghost's gonna get you. The ghost's gonna get you. The ghost's gonna get you. Ovatala, Shango, help me, save me, save me, Ovatala, Shango, save me, save me, save me. How did I get here? On my back, in the dark, with the wind and water blowing through my ears. How did I get here in the dark, with the wind and water blowing through my ears? Shango, Ovatala, save me, save me. My brother the king sold me to the ghost. My brother the king, you know my brother the king, he worked for Budweiser now. He worked for Coca-Cola now. My brother the king, he's Secretary of State now. You know my brother the king. Ovatala, Shango, save me. At the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, there's a railroad made of human bones. Black ivory. Black ivory. At the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, there's a railroad made of human bones. Black ivory. Wade in the water, wade in the water, chillin', wade in the water, a God's gonna trouble the water. At the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, there's a railroad made of human bones, black ivory, black ivory. If you ever find yourself somewhere lost and surrounded by enemies who won't let you speak in your own language, who destroy your statues and instruments, who ban your oom boom ba boom, you in deep trouble. They ban your oom boom ba boom, you in deep, deep trouble. Huh. Probably take you several hundred years to get out. Shango, Ovatala, save me, save me, save me, save me.
This is Joyce Jones and Hank Williams of Sugar in My Bowl. We're here with Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Care Moore. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Okay. Thank you for joining us today. Maybe you want to start off, Hank.
Sure. Well, one question that I'd like to ask both of you is, what do you see, considering you're both poets, what do you see as the relationship between poetry and music and just the sound of the human voice as you do it?
Wow.
I know. Big questions.
I don't know. I guess I can answer it. I mean, just for me, you know, I've been working with music, with my poetry, probably since I've been reading it aloud. And, you know, for me, it's the poetry, you know, has its own music. So I don't need a band. I don't necessarily need drums and bass and guitar. And that's the beauty of poetry, that it really does have its own rhythm. But I do enjoy, you know, playing with sound. And I like the drum and the bass and the trumpets and horns. And, I mean, you know, Sonia Sanchez and, you know, Mary Baraka and, you know, Jen Cortez. And, you know, they've, you know, Jessica Heron, Last Poets, they've all been doing that for a really long time, you know.
Right.
So I don't know why more of the poets, some of you know, my generation don't do it. Some of us do it, and we do it really, you know, hard, and we like to focus on the music and the poetry. But, you know, there's a beauty in the stillness of it, just being alone and just the words, too. So I enjoy both, and I think there's different audiences you can penetrate with music, so that's what's nice about it. I like doing the music because people who don't may not come to a literary event will maybe come hear a band perform. So.
Well, I asked that in part because Joyce and I caught "God Is Not an American," and
we just thought it was
a spectacular production.
Thank you.
I mean, one thing you said really, you know, I think really rings true, and that's that people, a lot of the time, people approach it differently just depending on what you call it, and you can be doing very similar things.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, that's in the show. You know, as you, since you saw it, it's like, you know, it's a full rock band. You know, so I have my full band there, and then there's moments when it's just me and it's quiet. And
right.
I want, and it, to me though, when you take it all away, it's all just poetry. You know, even the band didn't play, and I could still read those poems. It would still, the message would still be there. But yeah, it helps it, you know, be more exciting, and people like to hear music, and so do I. And I like doing that rock star thing. It's fun, you know, while I can still do it and get away with it and wear those boots. You know?
The boots, yes, we remember.
Actually, Rockstar is part of your bio, I noticed.
Yeah, it's a joke, you know.
Right.
But it's fun, you know, to be able to make poetry cool and sexy, and it's not just something, you know, because I'm really just a nerd. So that's what's funny, you know, but to make it more accessible, you know, I think is the idea. And that was in Margaret Garvey Park, you know.
Right.
And it was a really beautiful experience. And so, yeah, and that's why I pushed the envelope with the music in a different kind of way. Yeah, and it does pull people in. You know, my friends, some of my friends are from Detroit. They're not going to go into the poetry cafes. They're just not going to, you know. So you have to go. I've always had to go where people don't traditionally do poetry, mm-hmm. especially in Detroit. There were no poetry spots. I didn't grow up in New York, so there was no, you know, there's like one place for us to go. So I used to have to perform poetry at hair shows,
wow.
You know, because people went to hair shows in Detroit, you know. And so that's where I would read my poems. And so you have to do non-traditional things, I think, to get pull people in. And then they find the tradition after that, I think, hopefully.
Sticks and stones can break bones like words that form poems. Are the power in naps to snap cones? Is the power in raps to tap phones that make you want to marry the sweetest revolutionary? This is going out to all those brothers at the club and the cafes. It's coming out to you, Jessica, you that poor girl. You know, I want something sweet in my ear. You know, something I can take home to my girl. This is for you. You asked me to whisper sweet nothings in your ear when I was born to shout. My words are rapid fire bullets, and I don't wanna blow your brains out, blow your brains out. You asked me to whisper sweet nothings in your ear when I was born to shout. My words are rapid fire bullets, and I don't wanna blow your brains out, blow your brains out. My evening gown is gorilla green. I make offerings of myself before the first of every month, cause there are bills to be paid. Instead of getting laid, I prostitute verbs, manipulate whispers, define his words. Same we've already heard, but not quite like that. See, I know sheep whores who are squeezing with hard-headed trees at their knees, just so their men will name them honey. Haiku dripping 17 syllables of sweat, drying you out with sunset breath. Still, he ain't feeling you yet. Tongue-tied, you travel on top of yellow bees, hiding your real sting, cause he likes the quiet type. Yeah, right, whatever. You search your belly, adjust your scully, hoping to find some sexy sentence. How did you revolution and rhyme making? Damn, he's throwing my palm off. Got the nerve to sit in the front row on my front porch, and my fake agent throw rug in my bathroom while my mahogany pages throw down on my bedroom futon. I'm tripping, but he blends so well with the pillows. There are reasons I'm not supposed to look at brothers like you, telling me I better write harder, talk louder, sing protest, keep my stomach flat. Whoever had a politically correct style, smiling between oppression, that I'll do all the male poets and MCs. Like I'm wearing leftover pink silly prime dress lace under my brown poofy. Got a six pack of gunfire in my garter. I'm a bowl of mashed potatoes from scratch cooking martyr. Yeah, war torn Detroit born bush baby. You bought my belly telescope tenderoni. A turkey bologna with two nice lips fighting butter. One of them deep those ass trap poetic tricks you wanna get with. When the cafe rhetoric smoke clears. My two fears are green like licking culture kitty cats that you meow at. When the jeans look tight as we weigh in on invisible scales on stage. How many pounds of black rage can your love handle? Me to whisper sweet nothings in your ear when I was born to shout. My words are rapid fire bullets, and I don't wanna blow your brains out, blow your brains out. You asked me to whisper sweet nothings in your ear when I was born to shout. My words are rapid fire bullets, and I don't wanna blow your brains out, blow your brains out. Damn, baby, you look good, and I don't wanna blow your brains out, blow your brains out. I just got to the club, but damn, blow your brains out, blow your brains out. You a sweet lyrical eclipse, but baby, I don't wanna blow your brains out, blow your brains out.
This is Sonia. What are your feelings about musicians and your work? And
well, I think that you know, many of us who began this journey called poetry, writing poetry, always heard music when we read. We did not necessarily at the beginning do anything with it in terms of the voice, but the music was there. There was a subtext of music as we read. And one day, I was heading for Brown University, and it was snowing, and the plane had to circle for a long time until it literally ran out of gas, and we had to land, and I finally got to the campus, and the students had come at 8, and then I'm arriving at 11 o'clock, and they come back, and I did a, you know, kind of major reading, and someone said at the end, I said, one question, because by then, you're talking about 12:30, and 3 hours in the air, practically, and coming from New York, and the guy said, would you read your Coltrane poem? And I said, I've never read that poem out loud. He said, well, yeah, but would you read it? I said, well, I've never read it, and, you know, it's late. He said, well, we waited for you for 3 hours, and it takes a student, you know, to make you. I said, give me a minute to look at it, because in that poem, not only do I use the voice, but I also have sounds and also the stamping of feet, you know, all these directions on what one was to do with this Coltrane poem from you know, woo. So I did it. And when I finished, there was this silence in the auditorium. And then the students got up and made sounds and stamped their feet. And I came off the stage and I hugged that brother. And I said, thank you so much, because you made me do something that I had been hesitating to do. And that is to use my voice, as music, as a musical instrument, to make my voice, you know, take on the music and the horn and all those other things that I had heard. And then, of course, we began very much quite often to do, you know, a bass. I remember once I was asked to do something in New York City when the major stations were beginning to acknowledge that there was something called poetry, black poetry. And I got this quick call, like, can you come on and do 5 minutes on this show? And so I called a bassist. I can't think of his name now. And we got in a closet, and he said, read a poem real fast, Sonia. And I read this poem, and he went, do, and I said, we got it. And that was the nerve we had. I said that we were like the jazz musicians, you know, who did a lot of impromptu stuff. And, you know, you would go ahead, and you get on there, and you do it, and you had to retrain the ear from the poem to the music to make it work. And that's always the interesting thing about doing something with a band or with a group, with O.D. Dean Pope, you know, and a bass player, you know, and a drummer, you know, we opened up a jazz at Lincoln Center a couple of years ago when they opened up, the good thing is that they decided to bring some poets in with the jazz players, so Rashid Ali, and yes. Who just made transition, you know, Odin Pope, all these people were there, you know, brother playing the piano, from L.A., Oscar Brown Jr., Yusef Komiyaka, Amiri Baraka, and a poet from Detroit. I can't think of his name now. We were all up there doing the poetry with the music and making both relevant, making both intersect, making both and you do the solo part. You truly began to understand Billy and Sarah and all the other people who've had to get on stage as a soloist, you know, and to, you know, to weave the voice in and out of the music and the drums and whatever that's all about. I always tell the story about doing a thing with Max Roach, and Max never liked to repeat himself. But when you in the middle of the opera house in San Francisco, you want him to repeat himself. And you get out, I got up on stage and I introduced him to the crowd of people there, and everyone cheered, boom, boom, boom. And then Max was supposed to start in a certain way, but Max didn't start in a certain way. He went off. He started improvising. And I'm standing there, and that is not the script, right? And I'm looking at him, you know, and he's looking at me, and he had that funny smile on his face, you know, and he kept going. And I'm saying, well, you know, maybe he'll stop soon. We can start as rehearsed, right? And he didn't. So I finally went, tell me about love, love, love. And I entered into his arena. And the moment I entered into his arena, he stopped and we began the program as arranged. And that's something when you do work with legends as such, right?
Right.
That you realize that you can't stand on the stage with, you know, thousands of people looking at you and saying he's not following the script, you know, that you then have to, you know, move into his, you know, his arena. And The Full Moon of Sonia was a 90-minute show of music and poetry and dance. We did that at Tribeca a couple years ago. And for 90 minutes, I was on stage with people doing boot dances, and I was doing a poem along with it and doing the boot dance with them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whatever, et cetera. At the same time, with Oscar Brown Jr., you know, singing his songs and my coming in on a riff, you know, saying, you know, doing the middle passage with it, and the brother on the pianist, you know, connecting us both. I mean, doing... what they call it, a riff with Baraka and T.C. Carson, you know what I mean? And he would say something, you know, and I would respond, or I would say something, he'd respond, and T.C. Carson would, like, in a sense, sing it and look at us. You know, it was just that kind of interesting, beautiful thing. And then there would be the silence, and you then do a love song, you know, with just the piano playing there. And you gave people all the different kinds of possibilities with music and the voice and poetry and the mix also with a group.
Where's the cotton? Where's the cotton?
Hey, okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Inside me, let us take
like a love term that drumming. I hear, your smell across my threshold. Shall I hold your breath? Shall I hold your breath? Shall I hold your breath? I hear, your smell running, across my threshold. Shall, I hold? Shall I hold your breath?
Go back to Coltrane for a moment.
Mm.
And this is very much an open-ended question, but I think the big question is, what was Coltrane's influence on you, and how did that manifest itself in your work? Because that he and Malcolm X, they seem to be two of the focal points of your generation that, you know, really seem to be very common among almost everybody.
Although this is directed to Sister Sonia,
Of course.
You could just chime right in, Jessica.
Please do.
Well, you know, the joy of Malcolm and Coltrane is that Coltrane told us there were no boundaries. Before Coltrane and that music, there were boundaries, you know? But he said, there are no boundaries here at all. You can take it any place you want to. And that's what we did on stage. Because of listening to Coltrane, we were able to go out into outer space, you know what I mean, and come back in, you know, and take people with us, you know, who had never thought about, you know, listening to you take them someplace off out of an auditorium, you know, out into clouds, and then bring them back and say, see, you survived it, you know.
Somewhat like Sun Ra.
You know, and the thing with Sun Ra did, but also certainly what Coltrane did, you know, you know, and you became sometimes on that stage Sarah Vaughan or Ella. You know, with Ella, you know, you always, Ella was what I call earthbound. Mm-hmm. Ella never left the earth,
right.
You know, but Sarah would come on and she'd be just as quiet as she could be do, 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 do. Do do da do do da do do da do da do do. And all of a sudden, you realize she is taking you to outer space. You were out there, and you weren't too sure that you were going to survive or not. But then her voice said, you're here. You're here. Ooh, do, 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 do. And you came back, and she brought you from outer space back safely on a journey. And I always used to say that Sarah would take you into a place, an unknown place, and made it known to you. And then she'd bring you back safely home. Ella could never do that, even with all her beautiful ranges. But the difference that Sarah could have been an opera singer, and so she would do the low register, right? Ooh, and then she'd take you all the way up, you know. And by the time you were on that high register, you knew you were out of the building. You know, you were out of the building. And for a minute, you turned around to see if anybody else was with you. Then you closed your eyes and said it didn't matter. You were with Sarah. You were safe, you know. And she would be up there taking you someplace you'd never, ever, ever been. And then she'd bring you back safely home. And she'd say, safe landing. Hoo-hoo. You know, and there you were.
Life's really worth living when we are mirth-giving. Why can't I give some to you? When skies are gray and you say you are blue, I'll send the sun smiling through. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too.
You know, with Malcolm, people forget that Malcolm would make you becomes quite stirred up, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and completely, and then, but before he sent you out, he brought you down again mm-hmm. and said, now walk out safely, get home safely. In fact, I did on WBAI many, many years ago after Malcolm's death. Someone asked me to come on WBAI, and I'm still looking for that tape. I did a Malcolm as poetry. Mm. And I read him as a poet. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, what people truly don't understand is that that's what he was. That's why he was able, with that repetition that he did, that he was able, you know, to gather and capture people and then bring them back safely home, too, and said simply, now, don't go out. You can't go outside this far up in the atmosphere. I have to bring you back down so you can go and you can walk the streets and people won't stop you and say, are you from outer space? You know what I mean? And you say, no, I is from here, you know?
It's so amazing to hear you talk, Sonia, because that's exactly how people feel about your work, though. It's, mm-hmm. I hear you describing Sarah, and mm-hmm. it sounds like you, you know? Mm-hmm. Like when we hear you, it's the mm-hmm. same thing. It's the same ride. And I think the ride with poetry is very similar and connected to jazz.
Isn't it?
And why I can also relate to Billy and those women mm-hmm. when I'm on stage, I feel it. You know, you feel like, you know, I can't sing, but this is the way that I can sing
right.
and tell a story. But the way that you describe Sarah Vaughan, like with Sonia Sanchez, you know, mm-hmm. we're here, we're up, and then at the end you're telling us, you know, quietly to resist at the end, you know, so that we're safe again.
Mm-hmm.
But the ride is very similar. I think it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, you know, Malcolm is such a big influence in my life, just growing up in Detroit, you know, such a big influence on my writing, you know, learning about nationalism and all that, you know, makes poetry, my poetry what it is. If I didn't have Malcolm X, I wouldn't even be writing poetry,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was born in 71, mm-hmm. you know, after the riots, and my mother and father went through all of that here in the 60s in Detroit with my brothers. But, you know, we learned about it quietly. It was such, you know, I didn't even know what that was until much later.
Mm-hmm.
in life, but and then you speak about Coltrane. It's so interesting because I've been listening to Naima because
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find Naima. You know, I'm researching for this is my friend's film he's doing on Coltrane, and I'm trying to find Naima. You know, I've been talking to people about the women that have influenced music, like Betty Davis, who influenced Miles, and you know, Naima, who influenced, like, obviously Coltrane, and how those women are forgotten. You know, and I'm trying to write about those women now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those are the stories that I find really intriguing about women who no one talks about, but completely made music happen. And what the reasons why music went a different direction is because of the way they loved the men that made the music,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I don't really listen to a lot of John Coltrane, but for the last 2 days, I've been listening to it. So it's just amazing
yeah.
to be talking about it right now. That's how it works. So,
this poem is specifically for the master of the tenor saxophone, the immortal John Coltrane. There have been a lot of poems written mentioning Coltrane and the contribution that he made to black music, but none specifically about him that I know of, and none that that go into what I consider his greatest piece, A Love Supreme. And I wrote this with A Love Supreme in mind. It's called And Then He Wrote Meditations. Straddling the darkness, he controlled the bucking thrusts and rode on into the emptiness that he alone would try to fill, into the middle to try and be the bridge between spirits. Expand, he screamed. The vacuum was aroused, suspicious and alarmed. Who would dare? But on he rode. The tailwinds were from Africa. The bass and force were timeless rhythms that restructured beat and consciousness. The chasms between seconds were made real and whole. New targets imploded within the void. Holes were punctured through ebony nothingness, and resistance increased. Walls appeared. Rise up, train. The answer is just beyond the next wall. Rise up, train. The answer is just beyond the next wall. The train rose up. No one had ever so thoroughly defied the night. The crosswinds were from the east, lyrical assessments, harmonic sirens that called gut deep into never seen yet half-remembered desires. Is there a reincarnation, oh Lord? Do I recognize a part of me that is dying in the crevices of all these bleached skulls, lying conceptionless here? Non-existence attacked the man. Go back, intruder, you are not welcome here. We have no need for your emotion here. We have no emotion here. But obscurity was losing its grip. The inky blackness gave way to gray shadows. The canvas of limbo became a veil, porous and smoking from the heat as rays of light touched upon never illuminated concern. The screams grew louder. The once placid nightmare of soundlessness was crumbling, giving way to cries. Go back! Go back! Go back! And screams of pain and anger. In this place you seek, black traveler, he was asked. In this place we will tear the flesh from your body. Here we will gladly crush your skull and pour acid on your exposed and rotting brain. But we never let you die. We hold you here alone and worst of all aware of all that we do to you. We hold you captive here in hell. But come, said the wind. The threats were not the only sound. The faint throb of warmth that lay vibrating just beyond the horror of hell was a magnet pulling and reaching, drawing him on. Come, hell is past for you, said the wind, and the rhythms of heaven absorbed him. A love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme, a love supreme. And then John Coltrane wrote Meditations. That's it. It's called And Then He Wrote Meditations, and it's for John Coltrane.
Thank you.
listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones. And our guests for this evening are Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Kerr Moore. This program originally aired in 2009 when Sugar My Bowl was thrusted into 2 a.m. What you're listening to right now is John Coltrane's Naima from the complete 1961 Village Vanguard recordings. This was originally recorded in 1961. This is from a 1997 Impulse box set. John Coltrane, tenor saxophone, McCoy Tyner, piano, Eric Dolphy, bass clarinet, Reggie Workman, bass, and Elvin Jones, drums. Before that, and then he wrote Meditations, Gil Scott-Heron, Free Will, 1972 Flying Dutchman, release. Gil Scott-Heron's The Poet, Brian Jackson on flute and bells, Eddie Knowles, percussion, Charlie Saunders, also on percussion. Before that, we heard from Sarah Vaughan, I Want to Be Happy, from Sassy Sings Again, 1967, Mercury Records. Personnel includes Sarah Vaughan, vocals, Clark Terry, Charlie Shavers, Joe Newman, Freddie Hubbard, trumpet, J.J. Johnson, Kay Winding, trombone, Benny Golson, Phil Woods, alto saxophone, and Thad Jones is the arranger. Before that, we heard Love Poem from Sonia Sanchez's 2004 Via International Artists, Inc. release, Full Moon of Sonia. Sonia Sanchez is the poet. T.C. Carson is the vocalist. Randall Rivers, guitar. Mamanji Azania on bass. And Ken Canito Murray, percussion. Before that, we heard from a compilation, Funk Soul Groove, 2003 Penny Nation release. Jessica Kerr Moore recites Sweetest Revolution. Before that, we heard a segment from a DVD, The Power of Spoken Word, Volume 3, Africa, Amiri Baraka, 2005 Power of the Word series release. And before that, of course, we heard our theme from Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. This is from The Very Best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. Originally recorded in 1967, this is from a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. Stay tuned for our On the Bandstand segment with my co-host for the evening, our associate producer, Hank Williams. Before we go to the On the Bandstand segment, we will hear another segment from the DVD The Power of the Spoken Word, and it will be Jessica Kerr Moore reciting Heart of a Movement, and more from Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Kerr Moore right here on Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
I think sometimes we have to, at some point, you know, quite often I watch or I'm in meetings sometimes, and I'm always stricken still by how people, when they begin to do a litany of names about people, they leave out the women in the civil rights movement.
Right.
They leave out the women in the Black Power movement. You know,
right.
It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, and you could be sitting right there. you know, it's like, you know, like, you know, not like, okay, right. But the point is simply, I think sometimes is that, it is still geared, you know, in terms of a male-oriented, society. And people threw a lot at us saying simply that the Black Arts Movement was a sexist movement. And I said simply out loud, I said, the Black Arts Movement was no more sexist than the church, than jobs,
mm-hmm.
than America. Right.
Right.
But what was interesting at the beginning of the Black Arts Movement, and this is important before people began to what I get very rigid and codify, You know, people began to codify things and say, you can do this and can't do that. You know, when Baraka and Larry Neal, you know, and Oski and a bunch of people started doing this thing, we got up on stages together. And they, I mean, I was many times the only woman on that stage. You realize that?
Right.
And they didn't say, Sonia, you go first.
Right.
You know, usually I went right before Baraka. So there were a group of people who went before me that I would go in Baraka. That was really the way it always usually went at some point, because we were building the audience up in a way. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Right.
But there was none of that. I mean, they never threw the women on first and said, you go first, you know, and then now the big time people are going to come behind you. you know, we were like very much equal on that stage.
Abiodun, Oyebole, and Umar Ben Hassan, and Babatunde, who have been just not just the last poets for me, but very much daddies for me. And Amiri Baraka, who's been, you know, is an important person, has been a daddy for me. They're all our fathers. We all share them with the world. And so I just want to thank y'all so much because they put me on before the Apollo, the last poets were putting me on stage with them and taking me on the road with the last poets. And because they did that, I know how to publish other poets. And I know I understand the importance of other people, not just my own voice running its mouth, but somebody else's voice and giving them voice too. So just thank you for teaching me that I'm supposed to give back to somebody else. And because some people think it's about them, and it's really not about you. This movement is big, and it's going to go on past television, you know. So this is called The Heart of a Movement, and I wrote this for Elaine Brown, Juanita Abernathy, Evelyn Laurie, and Kathleen Cleaver. I bear witness on this day that all women are not created equal. I'm certain I would not be alive if not for you, Elaine Brown. Not breathing and full of black power bloodlines tied to your birth. It was your refusal to not us forget about Michael Little B. Lewis or other black magic children we pretend not to know. When we watch the paid off news from our suburban homes, the ones we forget to claim after they've been drafted into the prison industrial complex. It's complex to be a woman like you. Our minister of defense battling for the rights of women with your own comrades in the movement. You taught us responsibility, gave us more than a taste of power, a lifetime of organizing and teaching and loving and reminding this new generation that we must talk and read about this country's history simply because it exists, and it wouldn't if not for you. And when they couldn't kill you with church bombings, when you taught voter education classes or went blasts through your living room or daddy threats against you and your family's lives, your feet remained planted when they walked in over 300 marches, when you discussed the possibility of dying with your husband while you were still young. Juanita Abernathy, we spoil young women who speak with the power of your tongue. We study with the blood of our elders on our books and complain about the long walk to class. It seems that streets are not always named after legends or mothers or survivors of a Holocaust for that matter. When you are the right wife of the Reverend, your life is a sermon every Sunday, a story of sacrifice and struggle, a vision of Harriet retracing steps of our journey from Selma to Montgomery in honor of sheroes whose names we would have never known. Sometimes it just takes one woman to end apartheid, build a monument, stop toxic dumping in our backyards. You understood that the SCLC was powerful, but the SCLC women was necessary. But our rites of passage from girls into lawmakers, you historical landmark, Evelyn Laurie, visionary in our constant fight for freedom. You, one of our other mothers of black, our black consciousness. You gave us the strength to take over university presidents' offices, lay our bodies across basketball courts to boycott racist newspapers, to demand classes closed on the Martin Luther King holiday, to give African studies departments professors with tenure. You taught us education as frontline commitment. You, woman of SNCC, Freed Huey. You, woman of exile and love. You were never afraid of being radical or becoming a full-time student of human rights. You, sacred. You, not tired. You, destiny-driven. You, Kathleen Cleaver. You, Evelyn Laura. You, Juanita Abernathy. You, Lane Brown. You, power seeker. You, goddess. You, sojourner. You, you, Mary McKeever. You, firestarter. You, Nina Simone. You, international. You, sister. You, mama Africa. You, truth teller. You, revolutionary. You, woman, woman, woman. You, not supposed to be here. You, not supposed to be here. You, bulletproof, you panther, you wife, you breather, you bomb shelter, you ancestor, you pioneer, you frontline for team, you half Amazon, half amazing. You represent the Project Monifa, the double dutch champion, hopscotch heroin, voodoo candy lady, tree lamb traffic stopper, the bubble gum popper, the pigtail astronomer, everybody's baby mama, the storm calmer, a father's daughter, the birth of blues, queen of queens, you goddess, you warrior. I'm certain none of us would be here if not for you. Thank you.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for April 2nd. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And tonight's show features poets Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Kerr Moore. They have no immediate area events, but we'll let you know when they come around again, and we have more listings for you this week. We start with guitarist Pat Metheny, who's at New Jersey's Bergen Performing Arts Center on April 3rd, and in Westbury, Long Island at The Space on April 4th. Saxophonist Oliver Lake is at Roulette on the 5th. Percussionist Baba Neil Clark is at Brooklyn's Sister's Place for a Randy Weston tribute on April 6th. Bassist Reggie Workman is at Newark's Bethany Baptist Church for Jazz Vespers on the 6th. Vocalist Tana Alexa is at the Jazz Gallery with Ricky Rodriguez's quintet on the 6th. Pianist Mark Carey's Harlem Session series continues with weekly late Saturday night sets at Smoke on the 6th and 13th. Looking a little further ahead, drummer J.T. Lewis is at the Jazz Gallery with Phantom Station on the 12th. Vocalist Liz Wright is in Cape May, New Jersey for the Exit Zero Jazz Festival on the 12th. Bassist Christian McBride is with Chick Corea at NJ Pack in Newark on the 12th and at the Exit Zero Jazz Festival on the 13th. Tubist Joe Daly is at Terra Blues with Hazmat Modine on the 13th and 27th. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio in the late set at Smalls on the 17th. Finally, trumpeter Terrence Blanchard leads the E-Collective at the Blue Note from the 18th through the 21st. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. And if you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. And if you really like what we do, please help the station stay on the air by pledging whatever you can, and we urge you to become a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. The support WBAI link on our website has details, and we're grateful for any help you can give the station. This is Hank Williams signing off. With our new weekly schedule, we'll be back on air next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. and have updated event listings online. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Your mama. Hi, this is Roy Ayers. When I'm in New York, I listen to WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Right? Hi. You know, and sometimes we were on the stage, which I love doing, and I wish we would do more of it, when we were all on stage and someone would say something and someone would respond. And then someone would say something, and someone would respond. And when the person was talking, you go, uh-huh, do you really mean that? You know, well, you know, the audience would roar.
Yeah.
Now people have gotten so like, oh, this is my space, and
right.
I can't let you interfere with my space. You know what I mean?
Right,
et cetera.
Right.
But then you're on stage, and someone would say something. You say, you didn't mean to say that. Ooh. You know, but it made for a lovely kind of interaction.
Right.
And a lovely kind of human interaction also, too. And it taught the people sitting there that this thing, you know, is loose. You know, it's not that rigid, right? It is loose, but it's also about what we brought to it was the whole idea of improvisation, you know, with jazz,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, and I was trying to always, you know, replicate, you know, what I saw the jazz musicians doing, you know, also, too. I mean, they didn't just stand there when someone was riffing and just say, well, let me go smoke a cigarette. I mean, like, they were there like, you know, and someone would start humming sometimes,
right.
you know, and I would start the humming. And I remember once I did that, and the person really got unnerved by it, and I realized you can't do it with everybody. You have to ask, do you mind if I respond to what you're doing?
Wow.
Because how can you be on stage and not respond when
right.
someone's really getting down? Like, you can't be on a, right. on a stage with jazz and not respond when someone's getting down. Coltrane is really blowing. You can't
gotta
stand there and say, isn't that interesting
right.
what he's doing? You know?
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son, Hannibal, an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son, Noah, built New Ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would say. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
Do you think there's a certain intimacy or lack of community now? Or that's causing that, or is it simply just, a more technical matter of not necessarily being able to listen and find the spaces like you would in jazz?
Actually, I'd like Jessica to start that, because I notice with hip hop, even though there's an improvisation, I don't think that there's as much open. You tell me, Jessica, is it as open in exchange?
You mean as far as the hip-hop artists? It depends. The ones that work with the live bands, and I've seen a lot of them, you know, doing it more now. You know, Q-Tip works with a full band, and Common has worked with a band for a very, really a long, lot of years. And the Roots, of course,
right,
you know, and the best ones.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's there. I mean, those artists who are true artists are always going to push the envelope. They don't get the radio play, but I think it exists. And there was a time, you know, when I actually used to perform with all those artists all the time, you know, with the thing that happens with... So there was a connection with, you know, I saw a lot of the hip-hop artists who saw poets working with music and started to work with music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. Like, you know, Mos Def was Dante.
Right.
You know, Smith, we knew him as a poet in Brooklyn. You know, he wasn't a hip-hop artist. He was a poet, a real writer, you know, reading with us. Talib Kweli, same thing.
Right.
So Erykah Badu, same thing,
right.
you know.
That's
and
right.
so I remember, you know, that when we just did readings together and then...
And same with Ursula.
Ursula
Rucker.
Yeah.
And the what's the
Dana Bryant?
No, the sister in Philly, the now who's the singer.
Oh, Jill Scott.
Jill Scott.
Yeah.
They
she's
went
a
to
Black
those,
Lily.
They went to those little, you know, places in Philly, you know, and I used to go sit and watch them and listen and see what they were doing, you know.
Right.
Whatever. I'm sorry, go on, my sister.
No, it's fine. It was the same thing. Yeah, and then unfortunately, because of the way the industry works, those artists are pushed in a different direction, so we don't feel the connection with them. But I remember it, and I remind them of it sometimes, too, when I see them. Like, remember, you know, when we were just at the Brooklyn Moon on the open mic.
Oh, my,
you know?
Brooklyn Moon.
Exactly. You know, you're right about that. And I'll tell you something else that I always, you know, one of the things you know that I always push for is a cross-generational thing.
That's right.
You know, because I you know, I keep saying, you know, and I will, if I have a gig, I would invite, you know, try to invite Talib, try to invite
right.
you, try to invite
right.
Ursula, and say, come on, and the CDs, I went on Talib's CD on purpose, you know
yep,
what I mean,
right.
and I went on Ursula's on purpose. I said, people need to hear these words, what we say, and but I also will say sometimes to people, if I do it, you need to do it. In
right.
you know, on your in you know, when you're moving, you need very much sometimes to say, come on, I'm going to present now, you know, Baraka, or I'm going to present now this person, whatever, so people can
say
see
that.
You know, that interaction that goes on, that is so important, you know,
and
that's what I did with what's his name. He would be really annoyed that I have just blanked on his name. Anyway, he you know, we did a set together, mm-hmm. and with his rock band, you know, mm-hmm. with his
okay.
rock instruments, whatever. And it was cool.
Mm.
I mean, it was like really, as someone said, Fat came and said, that was really Fat, Miss Sanchez, you know. And I said, yeah. You know, and someone said, you know, then the person said, well, you know, why you want to do that with him? I said, because I want people to see the connections in the music.
Right.
And the connections that we have with each other.
Right.
You know, we've come from each other. We respect each other. We love each other. Hey, look at us on the stage doing this thing together. And
together.
Let us not separate each other. And I think that's important for younger people to see that.
Sonia Sanchez.
I say, all you young girls waiting to live. I say, all you young girls taking your pill. I say, all you sisters tired of standing still. I say, all you sisters thinking you won't, but you will. Don't let them kill you with their stare. Don't let them closet you with no air. Don't let them feed you sex piecemeal. Don't let them offer you any ordeal. I say, step back, sisters. We rising from the dead. I say, step back, Johnnies. We dancing on our heads. I say, step back, man. No more hanging by a thread. I say, step back, world. Can't let it all go unsaid. I don't remember the first time I heard Kwa Lee. I don't remember what I was doing. There were no remembered witnesses to my doings. But it seems like I've known him forever. He who has moved through mornings and midnights, through deaths and dawns, to document our bones, our blood, our lives. Listen. Listen to his exact wings strumming mist from clouds. Listen, listen, a man always punctual with his mouth. Listen to his revolution of syllables, scooping lightning from his pores, keeping time with his hurricane beat, asking us to pick ourselves up and become thunder.
Yeah. They say you can't please everybody. Let's go. Yeah. Hey, Dave, you know what that sound like? Feel the heartbeat. Feel the heartbeat on your eardrum. We got a new heartbeat. Feel the heartbeat. Feel the heartbeat on your eardrum. We got a new heartbeat. Yo. Comes of a dream deferred that never makes it to the world to be seen or heard. Do it breathe? Do it die a heartbeat? Is it alive? Do it leave? Only to become a star in the sky? I believe. Scratch that, I know. This ain't my full potential. Only using 10% of my mental on instrumental. But incidentally, my energy heavily. Can he be so ill? There ain't no pill on the remedy. The maker of memories possess the recipe to your fate. Make no mistake, there ain't no escaping your destiny. Especially when the death to us part like wedding rings. I'll be here forever. Put down on everything. And your omega, your beginning and your end, your father, your brother, your lover, your friend, the blood of your vein, it gets right, my flow one and the same. The joy and the pain, my name. Burner that destroyed a toy and a train. All city, all night, I'm enjoying the fame. I'm a hustler, I'm a gangster and a rebel with the rank of a general. In the battle between God and the devil, I lay claim to your spirit, your religion, your belief system. I'll do your hitting, your catching, and your relief pitching. This kid proficient in every position. The man in your dreams and your nightmares, the man in your vision. So it's quite clear, like light beer. Yeah, I'm standing right here. I get you hot, but stay cooler than the night air. I try to fit it in the same rhyme, but realize I can't be everything to everyone at the same time.
It's a rainy morning in New York City.
Because people would ask me, it's funny, because I'm, you know, of the hip-hop generation, when I would do shows, and they'd say, well, Jessica, you know, do you know Mos Def? I say, yeah, he knows me, too. You know? We know each other, you know, and so teaching them to get away from the idea of just because of the pieces you see in the media all the time, where, like, we're on those stages, on
exactly.
I feel very equal with those other artists.
Exactly.
Very much like I'm a participant in the culture, and I give something, too,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, that was the point of it all. The point of it all was that, you know, for years I would go places and take my students with me, and I made them get up on stages and read.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go, oh, I said, no. We've heard it now in a classroom. Now let's hear it in a big auditorium looking at 1,000 people. And I said, and they would get off the stage, you know, you're right. I should change those words, you know, because the audience at some point heard it and said, oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But it meant simply that you would get preparing them, you know, to getting them ready for eventually what they were going to do. And what they were going to do was to go on stage. You know, they were going to study, learn how to write well, get on stage and read, but also take them on and say, this is what it looks like, this is what it feels like, this is what it sounds like, this is what you got to do. And you support them and help them get on that way. Because someone said, why do you always do that? There's not enough room. I said, there's always room. We open the door for the younger poets, and the younger poets open the door for the younger poets. You know, this is what this is about, you know, and we've got to do it and continue to do it. This is not a competitive thing we're doing here. This is no competition. I mean, when I hear someone hit it on the stage, I lean over and laugh. Just step my feet, jump up and down, you know, come on stage. And that was really, but sometimes I watch some of the younger poets when someone hits it and the crowd responds, then they start going to their books, say, oh, I got to change what I'm reading. You see, you're not listening, because if a person really hits it before you, when you come on to that, that means you're going to hit it too, because you're taking that energy.
Right.
You see, you're going to, that energy is going to sustain you and make you also hit it, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's the beauty of that.
I'm taking the blues back home. 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 I'm taking the blues back to where the blues skills won't go. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. Because the blues feelers like to feel when they think they have nothing of their own. When they think they have nothing of their own. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back to the fire of the spirit. I'm taking the blues back to the depth of the road. I'm taking the blues back to where the blues dealers won't go. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues out of the mouth of the stealer. I'm taking the blues out of the western spring. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home before somebody sings. Ain't nobody's business if I steal your blues. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking, I'm taking, I'm taking, I'm taking, I'm taking, I'm taking, I'm taking. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home before Robert Johnson comes from the graveyard to say the blues has been crapped on. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back to the crossroads. I'm taking the blues back to the woods. I'm taking the blues back to the place where the blues dealers won't go. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home before Langston Hughes returns to say they're taking my blues again and gone. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm the owner of the blues and I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking, I'm taking, I'm taking, I'm taking the blues back home.
We were talking about technology just before we started, just before we really started getting into the interview.
I love it.
So,
ooh, technology.
Can you both talk a little bit about the difference between publishing and recording in terms of distribution methods for your work? I know Jessica, you have quite a few things that are available, and both of you have appeared on Deaf Poetry Jam.
And Sonia, you have published written word, mm-hmm. many, you know, you've published many things.
16 books, and I have two more coming out in January.
Yay.
Okay. plug.
Yes, please.
Morning Haku is one, and you know when you hear morning, M-O-R, but you also hear M-O-U-R-I-N-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. And in it, I have some haiku. The whole book, nothing but haiku, and the experimentation with haiku also too, because there is a haiku society, you know. And I do a slight introduction to the haiku, talking about when I first discovered the haiku, right? And how I opened that book in the 8th Street bookstore and slid down on the floor and started to cry because I had found me inside of a book. You know, that kind of reality. But I also am talking about the idea of what I call the haiku mind, that I'm pushing with a lot of young people, the idea of the haiku mind, of being very careful how we look at things, how we look at ourselves, the nature of ourselves and nature, the nature of ourselves and nature are the same, if you understand that, you know, that we are good and we're bad, but we walk on this earth always, you know, fostering the good. We are extraordinary and ordinary, you know, and people want to forget that, you know, and I can tell you about ordinary days I have, but I can tell you about extraordinary days that I have also, too. And I end the short essay by saying, because I have come to understand that my mouth and the river are the same. And that's important that we understand that, the connection to nature and our bodies, you know, and our tongues and our mouths, etc. And so I did a 10 haiku on the occasion of Max Roach's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man that I loved, you know, very much. And the last haiku they inscribed it on his tombstone, which was quite an honor. And Maxine Roach and I went up on the occasion of anniversary of his second year of his death, and, you know, poured champagne and danced around and said, "Hey, Max," because he's up there with Count Basie, he's up there with the Duke, he's up there with cool. Sketches of Spain, Miles, mm-hmm. you know, and you know they're all in there. It's this musician's row up in Woodlawn. Everyone should make a trip up there just to stand and listen. And you know the haiku that's inscribed on the tombstone is that simply says, "Your hands shimmering on the legs of rain. Your hands shimmering on the legs of rain." That's for Brother Max. You know, his hands moved so fast, you know, that they were shimmering on the legs of rain. Couldn't see him, you know? Yeah.
Thank you.
with regard to technology and the distribution.
You sell it on the, you know, it gets sold on the net, you know what I mean? On, what is it, Record Baby or some kind of baby?
CD Baby,
right, right, you know. You take them on the road. I see you with them on the road also, too. That's something that we learned from Langston
right.
Hughes.
Jessica.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, I sell the most books on the road.
Ooh, you do.
Come on, you know, that's where you really do the work, is, uh-huh. you know, and poets have still do, even if you, whether you have publishing deals or not, that's
exactly.
how you still do the work. And
that's
so,
right, because they don't do the work for you.
Excuse me. Yeah, mm-hmm. Hello? They don't.
I'm going to dedicate this comment to Jim Fitzgerald. My first book of poetry is called Black Girl Juice, and I'm going to, like, war with these publishers who claim they know the definition of poetry better than poets.
Slam stuff is kind of oral, and when you put it on paper, it doesn't quite work, and some do, some don't. Some of them weren't even written. Some of them were just extemporaneous.
It's just the business of it that I can't stand, you know, and the politics that go into it.
Mainstream publishing here, you know, this is a rat maze. I could march people in here from this office here, you'd think they were working roof and siding. You know, they don't read books, they just move product. That's where mainstream publishing is for 80% of it.
So the whole poetry slam thing is on the decline.
And how do you ascribe dollars and cents to slam poetry? You really don't, not right now.
Well, my book will come out anyway, and it will be hopefully a bestseller.
Jessica's appearance on the cover of the New York Times was probably an attempt by the New York Times to say, we're hip and we're doing a youth thing.
Jessica Care Moore, very strong poet who has won 5 consecutive amateur nights at the Apollo, the wow. first poet to ever do that.
Please warmly welcome Jessica Care Moore. Show your love, Apollo.
Have you ever tasted black girl juice? You might want to pour some inside a jar, let it linger on your top lip, or take it on a trip and dab small circles of it on your wrists, ankles, or ears. And if you're daring enough to ask, I've got some black girl juice if you have an empty glass. Thank you, Apollo.
And so just, you know, for me, it's just that, you know, you use the internet, you know, I use mm-hmm. it to get more to get people to know about the readings and to, you know, and also it's been nice, you know, to connect with people that, you know, Facebook, I resisted for a long time. And then, you know, Kalamu Ya Salam is on Facebook. So mm-hmm. it's been, you know, a cool way to get a hold of certain artists to kind of keep us connected. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in a strange kind of way, though, you know, almost.
It is.
And, yeah, it's not really a real way. And I think
see,
that
yeah.
having your birthday party and having people come to your home, that's a real connection.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's a real memory. I don't remember the conversations I have on Facebook a couple of days after they are gone.
Yeah.
You know?
And I do look at them and I look at people, you know, and I just go, what it is that I say to you as a young writer, you know, yeah, use it. Right.
Yeah,
but also
yeah.
write your letters. When people collect your papers, they want letters. They do not want an email.
Mm.
You know,
they
email do. Is so impersonal. They do not want, although I do send email. You know, whatever. Every time I do it like, and I, you know, I get off it like I burnt my hand, you
right.
know, my
I
finger
love
on the iPhone. You know, because you don't say what you want to say. And when I did that invite, you know, for people, for the, you know, for the party, I wrote a haiku on turning 75, you know, and it was a haiku for all of us, because if you stay alive, you're going to turn 75.
Mm.
I mean, you better hope you turn. And I know so many
That's
people
right.
in my generation who did not make it at all.
Right. Right.
You know, and so I did that. And then I also just said to people, you know, like, come, you know, no, I forget what I said, but I said, come, you know, let us celebrate, you know, each other. It wasn't about celebrating me, but each other. And the last line was something like, come, let our tongues sing human songs.
Visiting hours are over. I walk in, heart open yet blocked by the non-stop repeal of membrane after membrane after membrane. To the cells, the count, peeling back the viscera, the bone, the cartilage. Here comes the equinox, fading daylight, balancing night. The world seems in remission. Its angles and edges flat as the horizon. On one side, the unshakable absences. On the other, more of the past than I care to love.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The weather's warm, but the sky.
gray. January seems like early May. I remain as I used to be, only believing half of what I see. Very little of what I heard, I couldn't believe the words. You were gone, you were gone. I couldn't believe that you were gone. May this letter, may this letter.
The text for today is Earl and Miles, the Columbia years. That tone pared down to essentials. A bittersweet subtext of solids, fluids, and air somewhere between text and reveling. Some days I forget where I parked the car. I can't find my house keys. Finally, finally, I come to believe in loss as a way of knowing. Going down, the body follows its own intelligence. It initiates each new outing in this darkness.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I went down to the water today. I feel the same, but in a different way. I could smell the ocean air, and it was neither here nor there. You once asked me if I pray. When I pray, this is what I say.
You know, so many times I'm on the road and I listen to people and their tongues are not singing human songs. Because your generation, my dear sister, and the one coming behind you must answer the question in this 21st century of what does it mean to be human? Mm-hmm. And if right. you all don't answer, we're trying and we have tried, you know, and we've done a lot of walking towards that answer. But if that's not answered in the 21st century, there would not be a 22nd century. You know, and it's something that we must really work on quite thoroughly. And I'm not too sure the net's going to answer that, you know.
No, I don't think
you know,
it will.
But what will answer it, however, is, you know, is making us look up and listen very carefully. I mean, I listen very carefully when I go to a hip-hop, concert. I mean, and I boo at a hip hop, you know, I will boo at a hip hop. When someone says, you know, the magic B, you know, or whatever, et cetera, you know, about a woman, I will boo. Mm-hmm. You know, and people look around me and say, what you doing? I said, that ain't what I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I ain't no B. You know, do you know how long it took for me to make audiences believe when I said I am a black woman poet. They resist it. You ain't no black woman poet. No, black women ain't no poets. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It took a minute because there were poets before, but they didn't get up on stages and announce it. Is what I'm saying. You know, announce it. You know, because the point is, the poets were the male poets, and they were all white male poets. You know, you know. So I'm just saying, simply, it's, you know, it's been a long trek, but seeing Jessica, you know, and seeing Ursula, you know, and seeing Nzadi, and seeing a lot of people, you know, seeing Def, seeing Talib, you know, seeing all these younger people coming along, Raz, you know, coming along, seeing all these poets coming along who are picking up this mantle, saying simply, okay, I write, I'm going to write well, I'm going to learn this craft called writing, I'm going to learn it, I'm going to also get up and read it well. I'm going to involve younger people and older people and middle-aged people with this craft called writing, because it is a craft, and it is something that we have learned, and it's something that we must pass on from generation to generation.
Rivers ran through me. I felt them pass through my bones, through liver and lung and stomach. Washed me into the big white cloud lake, and I floated. No knowledge of swimming, but I floated. Right between fear and mountains, just beneath blues and birds, right next to the sun and God. Even in the middle of wind, even in the middle of wind.
Reciting the rain caught in my scream. These lips cannot swim, only my breasts, wild as black waves. I met a collector of rain once, who went to sleep in my sleeve. Is his alibi still under my arm? I keep coughing up butterflies by entrails, trail Albano's tunes. His voice comes in my hair. Is the flesh tender where the knees weep? Is the flesh tender where the knees weep? Is the flesh tender where the knees weep? Between fear and mountains, only my breasts, wild as black waves, washed me into the big white cloud lake. I keep coughing up butterflies right next to the sun.
I met a collector of rain once. Humble, humble. Humble, humble. Humble.
Both of you are educators,
mm-hmm.
and as educators of the spoken word and written word, is there something you think other educators should emphasize?
I've been speaking, so you want to?
I mean, I think what they have to be open to putting books in the classroom that are. Haven't been in the classroom in a long time. You know, they have to put Sonia Sanchez and Amiri Barak and start teaching. They don't teach the Black Arts Movement writers, mm-hmm. let alone act like we exist at all. And so there's this complete disconnect from the academic world that I'm seeing slowly. You know, University of Michigan Dearborn, thank you to Dr. Gloria Knapp, just ordered, you know, my book for her for the English department at University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's one department in one school, so I'm hoping, you know, that at some point, they'll actually act like we exist. You know, I wouldn't have known who Sonia Sanchez was or Intozake Shange or Lucille Clifton or even Alice Walker, for that matter, you know, if I wouldn't have gone into a library independently on my own. Right. If my drama teacher mm-hmm. wouldn't have brought For Color Girls to Cody High School, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have found these women. Mm-hmm. I was learning T.S. Eliot, Walt Whitman, Robert Frost, Emily Dickinson. Mm-hmm. Those are the poets that I knew that I didn't like or did like. That's the only people I could even deconstruct. Those were the poets, were these white dead men. You know, that was the canon. And so we have to, I mean, it's ridiculous that in 2009 we have to still say, you know, those other writers are a part of the canon, you know, but that's the main thing as educators we have to do. We have to go outside the box. We have to be progressive and bring poets into the classroom.
And you have to fight for that. You know, I was at an MLA conference and this guy came up to me. He said, Professor Sanchez. I said, yes. He says, you don't know me. He said, but I'm going to give you my name. And the moment he gave me his name, I laughed out loud because he was one of the editors of one of the Norton anthologies, right?
Oh, wow.
That I used to write and call and badger and say, I will not use your books in my classroom unless you began to put some black writers in it. I really did that.
Wow.
And he had his wife with him. He said, this is Professor Sanchez. Remember I told you about her? Well, I laughed aloud again. Mm. But I walked up to the man and hugged him. And I said, thank you. You did finally put it in. And he said, yes, we did. And I said, you thought for a while that they think you were just, you know, advocating for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But we were advocating for Sterling Brown and Gwendolyn
right.
Brooks
mm-hmm.
and Margaret Walker and Langston Hughes and Zora Neale Hurston. All those people,
right.
you know, before us, you know, we were,
right.
you know, we were saying simply, you cannot have literature in this country without these people who contributed so very much, you know, and Robert Hayden. And so finally he said, you know, they did. I saw that happen. I remember sitting in my office and opening up the anthology, that Norton anthology. And there not only were the Walkers and the Brooks in there and the Haydens, but they had put Baraka and Sanchez and Walker and all of us in there, and I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I sat there and cried, you know, and someone came into me and said, what's wrong, Professor Sanchez? I said, you know, you have to keep pushing, you have to keep pushing, you have to keep pushing until they open the doors, because we are part of this canon, as, you know,
That's
Jessica
right.
said, you know,
mm-hmm.
an important part of this canon. In fact, we've kept the whole idea of literature alive in America because of how
Come
we
on.
Wrote. Right. How we write and how we wrote. Otherwise,
right.
just like the music. You know, our musicians and have kept music alive in America. Mm-hmm. Rap, people said, don't you dislike rap? I said, no. They resurrected music.
Right.
The rap artists
right.
resurrected music. The music industry again and again and again, you see. So, no. You just have to say to them sometimes, hey, you need to, you know, in a sense, you know, restructure some of your words there.
Right.
You know, and learn how to call a woman something beyond a B. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Or whatever. But that's the joy of teaching, being in the university, teaching for 40 years in the university.
Mm.
You know, from the very beginning, Xeroxing. No, we didn't. We didn't Xerox. We mimeographed. We mimeoed the poets, you know, their first books, right? Yeah. And we mimeoed Cain. We actually mimeoed Cain. And I remember also, wow, because we did that and Black Studies were beginning, then they reprinted Cain. Mm-hmm. Gene Toomas Cain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know? So, I mean, you know, you push, and the industry, you know, the publishing industry just wants to make money. Mm-hmm. And the
right.
moment they see there is an audience, they will come with those books, you know, again. And that is the joy of seeing that and understanding that, yeah. And having a lovely poet like our dear sister on the phone, you know,
sweet,
also,
yeah,
too.
Sweet.
We appreciate you.
It's so, oh, thank you. No, we appreciate you. I'm mm-hmm. just a baby. We were supposed to read poems, and there was a poem that is in my book that I wrote for you that I wanted to do if we had time. It's
please
not
do.
A long one.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's from when you we did the reading together at U of M when Dr. Anna brought us in.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And it's called Recipe for Survival for Sonia Sanchez at 71. The year of my birth, you wear smooth as silk and feathers, water voice and theater hands, easy on the road, Paris, Detroit, Philly, Dallas. On Sunday, you will sleep, watch a comedy to boost your immune system. I call you to thank you for the organic fruit, almonds, strawberries, and apples that taste like apples. Teach me to survive being a poet at 33. Give me the strength to schedule in our breathing on Fridays so we can teach on Saturday, sign books for 3 hours, and smile. Remember why we write, take time to get better, live enough hours to create new stories. One part water, 2 tablespoons of aloe vera juice, mornings mixed with apple cider vinegar, always honey, always sweet, to see you so full of moonlight in my hometown, talking about our generation and yours, these Motor City streets blending with the sound of your voice. You a poet, woman with swagger, integrity, and love. And you give me no reason not to continue to search for our humanity inside hand-me-down poems or recipes for survival. When you are born in this skin, in this place they call America, what do we have left to pass down more important than love?
Oh, my dear sister, thank you.
Well, thank you, both of you. Thanks, Jessica Care Moore.
What did you say her name was again? Huh? What did you say her name was again?
Jessica.
Okay. I threw her, by the way, Jessica. You know, I threw her. She looked at me.
It's like I thought she was talking to you.
Jessica. You fat. You fat. You bad. You keep on doing. Did you say your name was Jessica? Jessica. You are Jessica. You are Jessica Care Moore. More. I want more. I want more. I want more of Jessica Care Moore. More. Okay.
All
love
right.
you, my dear sister.
You can make me cry, okay?
Make me cry, too.
Take good care of yourself now.
Oh, I love you.
And your
thank
little one
you.
Who's gotten big on us all.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
You'll have to see him. We're in New York next time. I'm going to call you.
Okay, please
so
do, okay?
Okay.
And thank you, Sister
peace
Sonia.
You. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and I am happy that we were able to present a program that was featured at 2 a.m. in November 2009 with Sonia Sanchez and Jessica Care Moore. What you're listening to in the background is Beautiful Black Women from the Jihad, their Black and Beautiful Soul and Madness release, originally recorded in 1968 on Jihad Productions. This is from a 2009 Sun Boy reissue. Amiri Baraka is the poet, Freddie Johnson, lead and tenor vocals, Leonard Cathcart, tenor vocals, Irene Eternal, second tenor vocal, Gilbert Monk, baritone, Yusef Iman, bass. Before that, Humbled from Ursula Rucker, her 2006 K7 release, Mot Mama. Before that, Open Heart from Sekou Sundiata, The Blue Oneness of Dreams, a 1997 Mercury Records release. Sekou Sundiata, the poet, Douglas Booth, lead and background vocals, keyboards. Before that, we heard Jessica Care Moore, a segment from the DVD Slam Nation, 1998 Docurama DVD. Before that, Blues Waltz from Max Roach, Jazz in 3/4 Time, 1957 MRC Mercury release, Max Roach drums, Kenny Durham trumpet, Sonny Rollins tenor saxophone, Billy Wallace piano. Before that, the title selection, Taking the Blues Back Home from Jay and Cortez and the Fire Spitters from the 1996 Verve release. Jane Cortez, poet, Al McDowell, bass, Burn Nix, Carl Weatherby on guitar, Billy Branch, harmonica, Frank Lowe, tenor saxophone, Donardo Coleman, drums. Before that, Everything Man from Talib Kweli, his 2007 Blacksmith Warner Brothers release, Eardrum. The personnel includes Sonia Sanchez, who provided the introductory poem, and Rez is on vocals. Before that, we heard Step Back, also from Talib Kweli, featuring Sonia Sanchez, from Blacksmith The Movement. This is from a 2006 out-of-print mixtape. And before that, we heard Ego Tripping from Nikki Giovanni. Truth is on its way. Right on Records, originally recorded in 1972. This is from a 1993 collectibles reissue. Stay tuned for Anne-Marie Hendrickson and her Mansion with Friends. Sugar My Bowl will be back next Tuesday. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.